I'm delighted to be joined by Nikhil Jain. Nikhil is a faculty from the University of Delhi in India, and he's also the Disabled Elected Academic Council member there, which is the highest body of Delhi University. And he's here in the studio to talk about his own sight loss story. If we could start at the very beginning, then Nikhil, you were actually born blind, weren't you?
I was born blind. Like, I think so, in the sense that, you know, when I was around, say, 3-4 months old, my parents came to know about my disability. And that's a guess that, you know, when I was born blind. There's no other information that, you know, I lost my eyesight after, say, 1 month, 2 months, or at the time of my birth.
So this wasn't hereditary? There wasn't anyone in
No.
your family that brothers
Not
or sisters affected?
Nobody in my family had any sort of, you know, problem.
Where were you raised as a child? Where did the family live?
I was born in a district called Hoshiarpur in Punjab. But my parents lived in a city called Faridabad near Delhi,
okay,
a capital of India. And I was brought up there and got my schooling in a special school, school for the blind. And I was brought up in Delhi only.
What was the school like? Was it a good school? Did you have a good education?
It was one of the best schools in Asia during that time, actually.
Fantastic.
It was a special school, and I did all my schooling there. Before that, in fact, I was there in a normal mainstream school named Holy Child.
Okay.
But till KG, I was there. But when I moved upwards to the first class, the teachers told my parents that, you know, this child cannot be upgraded because now onwards he has to do, you know, all his works in print, and we don't have such facility. So rather you find out something of his sort, or some school, special school for the blind. Then I think the hunt for the special school started by my parents.
So you actually went to a mainstream school first of all, and
it
then on to a blind
child
school. Which one did you prefer?
I prefer the special school.
I speak to many different people that have been to blind schools, and it's mixed reactions. Some feel as if they've been held back a little, while others feel as if they've been given the freedom to go out and chase any dream that they desired. Did you feel that your school pushed you forward to excel?
I think my school had a very decisive role to play in my life. It pushed me. It made me what I am today. It gave me independence. It gave me dignity. I tell you, when I saw the braille letters in front of me, which were put before by my teacher, my braille teacher, I think that moment was very crucial, very turning moment in my life, because for the first time I realized that there's something of my sort which I can read, which I can access. And those were the turning moments in my life.
Because you were saying as well, Dr. Jain, that your parents were very keen to try and find a cure initially for your blindness. Was that
True.
Maybe a moment for you where you realised, I can get on in the world with my disability?
I think I was not so clear about what I need to do, because when my parents initially were interested more in curing my disability, that was also there in my mind. And I was not so sensible, not so mature to understand many things about my disability, about my life, the objective, and also about the perception in the society. So as I grew, I started realizing the significance of my life, my role in the society, dignified role a blind person can have and should have in the society. And then I started losing interest of my disability, or curing the disability in my life. Now I've fully, you know, not only I say forgotten, but not worried about the cure.
So I think you finished your high school education around 1992. And
yes.
You went on to university after that.
Yes, then I straight away went to University of Delhi in a college called Ramjas College, which was a mainstream college.
Having been in a blind school, to go back to mainstream, was it easy to adjust?
Yeah, it was easy in a sense that I was more exposed to the outside world, And I was very mobile also, very interactive. I was a bit shy in the beginning, but I caught up quite easily. And I grew many friends there, became very popular, and also topped in the university, both in graduation and post-graduation.
Fantastic. And what were you studying?
I was studying political science honours.
And that's the field that you would go on to work in?
Yes. In fact, that was a coincidence that I chose political science as my honours subject. I was more interested in sociology in my schooling. And let me tell you, if you permit, a small incident that, you know, my father wanted to do in music. I rebelled, actually.
Okay.
I said, no, why you choose music for blind persons? I will not do that. I will rather choose the subject of my own. But unfortunately, sociology, I did not score much marks. So I chose political science.
For anyone that doesn't know, can you just explain in layman's terms what political science means?
Political science is a systematic, you know, understanding about the political behavior. Politics, I consider, is a core to society, right from your family life to what you are now. Politics is everywhere. We consider not politics as a behavior of politicians or political leaders. Rather, it's a phenomena which is existing in society. You know, whenever we think about society, social welfare, you know, whenever we talk about collective interest, the politics comes into being. So it's basically pursuing of collective interest.
So what year did you finish university and qualify?
In 1995.
Initially, it was quite hard to get a job, I believe.
Yes, because I had a very hard time, despite being a topper in university. Mm-hmm. After doing my MA from University of Delhi in 1997, I started doing MPhil, and then onwards, because I was to clear a test called National Eligibility Test from University Grants Commission, which is the funding agency of the higher education.
Right.
And it was not so easy to look for a job because the employers were very biased against persons with disabilities and particularly against the blind persons. They were very apprehensive about their capabilities, and there's so much of notion against them, you know, perception. So we had to battle hard against that notion, against that attitudinal barrier. But I think I managed to go through that. I think after, say, 8-9 interviews, I got hold of a job in where I'm working right now. It's a permanent job.
And that's working as a faculty?
Yes.
How do you get your reading materials in? Is it all transcribed into Braille for you?
No, there are serious lack of materials. My higher education was all in recorded material done by some of the volunteers.
All right, really?
Some of my friends. And for that, I had to work very hard, like others, look for people who could record for me the books I wanted to. Mm-hmm. Some of the classmates I caught hold of. And some of the people actually who are doing good service right from my school days, I was aware of. So they became very helpful. And some of the people I got to know in my university also.
That must be great, because unlike today, where I'm sure you've got the text-to-speech software like JAWS and stuff like that, back then
Absolutely.
You didn't. So you must have felt
things
as if you're...
Things are pretty easy now.
You must have felt as if you're having to work twice as hard as everyone else, but at least you had some good friends round about you that were willing to help.
Yeah, because I had to interact with them. I had to find... There was no other option available. Yeah. If I have to study hard, I have to get something for me. I was left with no other option but to find people who could record for me. And also used to, you know, make notes in my class, uh-huh. Try to catch up with others. And I used to insist teachers to be slow so that I could catch up, you know, with them.
And it was also around this time you started getting interested in the disability rights movement.
Yes. When I started hunting for my job, some of my friends, we got together because we decided that situation of visually impaired scholars is pretty grim. We need to find some way out. So we founded a forum called Sambhavna, which is working in Delhi. This is one of the organization which I'm part of. Okay. I'm the president of that organization from the beginning. So it's working for the disabled across all disability. We are a small organization in terms of funding and all.
So could you give us a few examples of the kind of things you'd be fighting for?
Yeah, we have done a fair amount of work in disability. Like, for instance, we have got a landmark case won against University of Delhi, which made us secure around more than 200 jobs in teaching posts, which was a historic thing in University of Delhi, or for the matter of any university.
Definitely, that's fantastic.
Yeah, and we had done, we have won many other cases against Union Public Service Commission, that is UPSC, which is a top body for bureaucrats in India, selection of bureaucrats in India, and other cases against Delhi Development Authority, that is DDA, for in residential, in accommodation, that is housing and all, and many other cases against other bodies. So basically, we are doing work in advocacy. It's a DPO, basically, Disabled Persons Organization.
Sure. How many people are involved?
We are a group of, say, roughly 60-70 people registered in our organization.
Have those numbers built up over time? Yeah, just maybe started with a few of you and it's grown?
Yes, we started with 10-15 people. Many scholars are coming up. We have a student wing that makes our body more larger, makes it to 200-300. The students are from University of Delhi, JNU, and some other universities.
Mm. And you're also the first disabled elected academic council member within Delhi University as well.
Absolutely. That was a great experience because I could not imagine how disability as a politics could be treated by the normal people, or the non-disabled people rather. And when I was campaigning for my candidature, I was shocked to see the reactions of many of the colleagues, many of my friends, that they were not able to understand that why I am projecting disability is one of the issue in university.
Is that your sighted friends?
Yeah, yeah. And, what I was amazed of, that the issues which were primary for them are the larger issues, and disability was not at all figuring there. So I had to work hard, not only for my candidature, because I wanted to convince them that, disability is also one of the vantage point from where you need to look at society, need to look at different issues. Mm-hmm. And in the first instance, I lost by a very, very thin margin in 2008. But in 2010, I won. And the next time, which was the last time, I won with a thumping majority because I proved myself there in the academic council, working, fighting for the issues, not only disability issues, but the larger issues also.
Uh-huh. And so, you think you've helped to raise awareness?
Of course. In the academic council, I was able to first spoke about myself, that I wanted material in accessible format, as others are getting. So they arranged it for it. And then I started, focusing upon the reading material in accessible format for all disabled in the university, mm-hmm. and also accessibility issues like structural accessibility, like pedagogical issues. And also I started, working on making the website accessible for the person with disabilities in colleges and university departments and the accessible libraries and many other things. And right now I'm one of the committee members of a preparatory committee which is working to institute a disability study center in University of Delhi, which is really a historic thing to happen.
Sounds as if you're doing really positive work. I've got to ask you, Nick Hill.
Yeah.
How many hours a night do you sleep? You seem to be constantly on the go.
I never thought of it, but now it has gone in my inner conscious because disability has become a part of my life now. I'm a disabled, that is a fact, but now disability as a work, as a politics, has gone into my consciousness.
Sure.
And that has become the part of my life now. And I'm aware of the fact that even the one life may not be sufficient for this.
When we were speaking off air, you were telling me your objective in life now is to sensitise disability in society.
Yes. Actually, there's a lot of work to be done in that, because India is still not prepared to look. Disability is one of the important issue. Though there are great efforts being made out by people, sensitive people who are part of the civil society and also government, but there is a serious challenges, you know, from bureaucracy, from the policy makers, because, you know, what is worrying that, you know, whenever they make a policy, they do not take disability into consideration. And once the policy is made, they are reminded of the disability is one of the important issue which should also be considered in policies. And that makes a burden on funds and some other issues. And that's why my main objective and main worry, which I had always advocated and cried for, to push disability while making a policy. So that, you know, not only the policy is concretized, it is more effective and more inclusive, but also then we don't, you know, end up, you know, spending more fund on policies when, you know, when you realize that, okay, now the disability is also to be pushed in, is to be included in policies.
What does the future hold for you?
I think I'll carry on this work, and perhaps, you know, in whatever way I could, I would be able to change many things in society. And it's not only that, you know, there are many things which I've seen in England also, which require some change.
Definitely.
As per my understanding. Mm. And I'm wherever I'm going, I'm trying to give my feedback to them. And I'm more interested in larger collaborations among countries, so that it's not only that, you know, England is thinking about their own disabled, India is thinking about their own disabled.
A good example would be the cave story, the children trapped in the cave, the way the world can unite.
True.
If they could do that for more things, that would be great.
Absolutely.
It's been a real pleasure talking to you, Nick Hill. I wish you all the very best for the future.
Thank you very much for all this, and I hope we catch up again. Thank you.